Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, April 26th, 2013, and how would you like to pay a $500 premium on a gold eagle? But we'll be talking about that's what those folks in Japan are doing, paying $500 an ounce. We'll be talking about that here in just a little bit, so please stay tuned. But first, let's go ahead and do a market recap. Just the what we view as important. Gold is down $9.50 at $14.59. Not bad for the strength that it's shown here in the past week, down $9.50 at $14.59. Silver's down 46 cents today at $24.04. Platinum was up 10 at $14.81, and palladium down a buck at $685. We have crude oil today down almost a dollar at $92.82. USDX down 0.26 at $82.49. And the paper markets today, looks like they ended the week higher on the Dow, up 11 points, but certainly nothing to write home about. 14,712. NASDAQ down 10 at 32.79. S&P down 2 also at 15.82. 10-year yield today is 1.66. And good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Yeah, the week is just about over, and it's actually been a good week for gold.
Absolutely.
Yep, gold has regained about 55% of the loss it suffered back on the 12th and the 15th of this month, as of now, and we'll see how it goes. But it looks as if gold will make a complete recovery, perhaps in as little as a month. Took the government 2 days to knock it down, $210, and it's taken buyers and sellers and so on. It looks like it might take them a month at the moment. We've made the cover halfway. Looks like it'll take another couple of weeks. We may have 30 days, a month thereabouts altogether, regain the price of gold. And that's important because it's absolute evidence that the government failed to scare people out of the gold market. We talked about this yesterday or the day before, and it's just like Obama threatening to impose more gun control legislation. All he does is sell another million firearms every time he threatens. And what we've seen is something similar to that in the gold market. They knocked it down. They were hoping to destroy public confidence in it. Instead, we had buyers 50 to 1 during the actual takedown on, again, April 12th and 15th. wholesalers reported 50, or dealers reported 50 buyers for every seller, which means confidence was not damaged. If anything, confidence was strengthened in gold. And we saw people around the world, and this apparently is continuing now. People around the world are buying gold as fast as they can get it, all of which is positive for an increase in the price of gold. And it may be that we won't necessarily see that. I don't know that we're seeing the demand in this country to the same extent we're seeing in some foreign countries based on the fall in the price of gold. Do you know? Do you have an opinion on that?
No.
Okay. Well, in any case, gold globally is jumping. Here in the United States, it's up. Certainly silver is up. You can't hardly find any silver. If you want any silver, you're going to have to go look in your look in the drawer where you keep your knives and forks, and maybe you got a little silver in there that might be available for sale, but or to sell. But hard to get silver. Not impossible, but difficult. It's surprising, and it's just amazing, really, because it seemed like such a dark moment when gold plunged $85 on Friday or $84 on Friday, and then another $115 on the following Monday. It's, oh my gosh. As it turns out, it wasn't all that scary after all. It was inconvenient, and it was disturbing, but right this moment, I'm smiling. I'm feeling, you know, hey, this is cool. They knocked it down as far as they could knock it down, and it's taken a couple of weeks to jump halfway up, and we may be able to get to regain all of it in a month's time. Huh? Good, good, good. I'm glad to see it. What else we got, Melody?
Well, they came out today with the gross domestic product, the GDP, and that is the broadest measure of economic output. That rose at 2.5% annual pace in the first 3 months of the year. And, of course, they say it's driven largely by a pickup in consumer spending. And it's broken down about what they feel it's what they spent it on. But a lot of these workers, they actually have seen their take-home pay drop in January because of the payroll tax cuts. So a lot of these numbers, it's, again, probably another number. They get to revise this number three times. Most likely, I would expect it to be revised lower because you just can't have these households drawing down on savings. They're borrowing to continue spending. They were spending more on utilities and housing. And so, again, it's certainly it doesn't sound like it's they're out there buying clothes, motorboats, and so forth. We also had the durable good report come out for the month of March, and that wasn't very good. Plus, you also have these corporations, these companies who bring down their inventories at the end of the year. And, you know, the first quarter, they'll build those inventories back up. So, again, you can see a little bit stronger first quarter GDP. So we'll have to wait to see how the rest of the year plays out. But if government lies about the majority of their reports, again, I'd have to think that these next revisions for the GDP for quarter one will be revised downward. So.
Of course they will. One of the reasons they have to revise the numbers downward is because if they don't, they're going to have to admit that next quarter is a bad quarter.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're going to tell them we gained 2.5%. On the annual rate, 2.5% this quarter, hooray! But by the time we get down to where we advertise the next quarter, if we go from this alleged 2.5%, next quarter is probably going to be a loss. So they have to cut it back and say, oh, wait, no, listen, actually, we only gained 1% on an annual basis in the first quarter, and that will allow us to do another percent and a half on top of that, who knows, in the second quarter. But it's they can only keep these lies. They can only sustain them until the next report comes due. And that's interesting because it's evidence that the truth will out. The difference is the first lie is going to be broadcast in, you know, neon colors and bright lights. And the rest of it, hooray, we're up 2.5% on an annual basis. And when that's the truth comes out, it'll be on the back page, in a small column, government admits that actually we only gained about 1% on an annual basis. And they won't say much about that. And the next one, yay, we gained 2.5%, and they'll lie, and then you follow what I'm saying.
Well, what they're betting on is they're betting on this illegal immigration will be passed, and you'll all of a sudden have, what, 11 million folks in this country. So they're betting on those people to help these numbers along for the, you know, if they get them in here quickly for the rest of the year and so forth, even though that, you know, it's taking jobs away and lower wages and et cetera, et cetera. I also heard discussions that they're looking to, you know, they need to sign more trade agreements. And, you know, that certainly isn't going to help the jobs back here. You know, that's just another sucking sound of these jobs leaving this country. Absolutely. There's big, I guess it's not 11 million. I guess it's 33 million illegal aliens that'll be coming into this country. So certainly big numbers. They need it. They need it for the economy so they can continue to lie what's happening out, what's happening to the families out there.
We have illegal aliens serve the best interests of multinational corporations because they provide cheap labor and allow multinational corporations to produce goods here and products here that they can sell overseas. And thanks to low wages, they can make more profit or at least be more competitive. So it serves the multinational corporations, and it also serves the Democrats. The Republicans like it. Says, yay, hooray for illegal aliens. It's good for multinational corporations, and multinational corporations give us money. And the Democrats also like illegal aliens because they say, yay, we get more illegal aliens in this country, and they will vote Democratic, which means the Democratic Party will be strengthened. And my complaint is that neither one of the parties, the Republicans are doing what they can for major corporations, and the Democrats are doing what they can for themselves. And neither one of them gives a damn about what's best for the American people. Both of them are willing to engage in criminal activity, allowing illegal aliens to enter this country. They're both willing to do that because the Republican corporations that sponsor the Republican Party say, yay, we can make a dollar, and the Democrats say, yay, we can gain more political power. And it's just wrong. One of the reasons it's not a true statement, probably, but one of the reasons I think that the government feels so much affinity for the illegal aliens is because the illegal aliens are ultimately committing criminal acts, and government is ultimately committing criminal acts. And I suspect at times that government has more affinity for crooks, gangsters, and thugs and illegal aliens than it does for people who try to obey the law. It's the people who obey the law that make the Congress nervous. We're the ones who might try these people for treason before it's all over. The illegal aliens will never threaten charges of treason against the government. They want a government that is willing to allow and even encourage criminal activity. So what else do we have, Melody?
Let's talk about $500 premium on Gold Eagles.
It's been reported. Keith Barron. Well, let me see. I'm not sure. Who is this speaking? Keith Barron in an interview on WorldNet Daily, he said in part, one of my colleagues who was in Tokyo just told me there were stunning $500 premiums on 1 ounce American Gold Eagles, and there were none to be found anywhere in Tokyo. So the Japanese were taking advantage of the price drop to buy seemingly everything available in terms of physical gold in the entire country. Two explanations for that. One, the Japanese government has declared that they were absolutely going to cause 2% inflation each year for the next several years. That would inspire people to invest in gold. And the reduced price in the United States is going to inspire people to buy gold, but $500 premiums on 1 ounce? That's pretty amazing. Now, we have this secondhand from a man named Keith Barron. He says, one of my colleagues who was in Tokyo just told me. Well, that's hearsay. We don't know that this is absolutely true, but it comes from a source that's probably credible. And you know, pretty amazing. And it may be shades of things to come. What we're seeing in Japan, I don't anticipate seeing $500 premiums on silver eagles here in the United States, or gold eagles, excuse me, here in the United States. But it's hard to say how much of a premium we might be paying in the foreseeable future. Right now, buyers are probably thinking in terms of paying premiums anywhere from maybe $60 to $100 per coin. You can correct me on that if I'm mistaken about that, but ballpark figure, that's probably correct. Could we see a $200 premium on gold eagles, Melody? Do you think that's probable? Can you imagine that happening?
Yeah, now I can imagine that happening. I mean, people are willing to pay $10 premium for silver eagles. I couldn't see any reason why they wouldn't pay two or three or more on gold eagles.
I'll follow what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, when people, you know, I always say people want what things that they can have, and sometimes it's a, you know, they create the problem also. There's other options and so forth, but they want that one thing, and if they went into other options, they'd make the other one come through. But absolutely, you know, I mean, hey, look what, if our government came out, you know, we're spending $85 billion a month, but if they came out and made the announcements like the Japan government did, spending, you know, almost $2 trillion in U.S. dollars, yeah, that would be a, you'd see everybody scrambling for gold.
Well, I understand. And one of the things that's going to happen, it tells us that we're on the verge of something here. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, certainly not this month. And I won't even say it's going to happen this year. But if Melody's correct, if you're correct, Melody, when you say that people want what they can't have, mm-hmm. increasingly it's going to be obvious that as more people want gold, the demand is going to go up, and the supply is effectively going to diminish. As more people want it, it's going to be harder to get. Right? It's just part of just normal. There's nothing magical about it. It's just normal market dynamics, but it does point. There's only a limited supply of gold. You're not going to be able to increase it dramatically. There are certainly an absolute limit on the number of pre-1933 gold coins, the certified coins, and even the circulated coins. There's only so many of them out there. As more people want them, there's going to be less of them available. It just follows, and necessarily prices are going up. Are we going to see $500 premiums? I don't expect to see that in this country this year, but the fact, I wouldn't have expected to see them in Japan this year, and according to this report, we're seeing them. So, you know, we're living in interesting times, and gold got knocked down almost a little over $200, coming back up almost 60% so far, and premiums, demand has skyrocketed globally. Premiums in Japan are astronomical. Can this be sustained? Does this point to the future, or is it just an aberration? We don't absolutely know. But we'll probably find out within the next several months. Do you want to add anything?
Just remember, people pay $10,000 for a tulip bulb.
Yeah, that's true.
So, folks, when you have a system purging and a currency situation, yeah, people are going to run to gold and silver. It's the last phase of the bull market. We have yet to get there. We're still in the second phase. And, yes, you're going to see all kinds of crazy things happening. But now you can get bargains. You can get good pricing. You can get on the products that are available. And we'll be talking about that right after the breakout.
All right, Melody, we're going to take a break on financial survival. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a one-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Now's the time for Melody to announce her special du jour. What you got, Melody?
Well, the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens that we had the special earlier in the week, that was very much a success. Many, many coins were sold. It was a great value, great price. So we're going to bring you another one. We're going to go a little bit lower on the scale of things today. We're going to go into the Mint State 61 $20 Liberties. And I found out from a couple of our competitors are actually selling extra fine $20 Liberties at $1,885. There's another one that's selling some extra fine $20 Liberties at $2,300. We can actually, if there's folks out there that want to buy circulated gold, we have the product. I do sell it, and we sell it at a much lower price than what the competitors offer. We will sell the extra fine $20 Liberties for $1,800. That's $85 less per coin. But if you would like something that's graded, something that's guaranteed to be a Mint State 62 $20 Liberty, no one will ever question you that when you go to sell it, that, gee, this isn't a 61, it's an AU. It's guaranteed to be a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece. They're $1,860. They're $15 less than what the competitors will sell an extra fine $20 Liberty. So, folks, it's all about value. It's all about getting as much as you can for your dollars that you work so hard to gain, to own. So $1,860 for Mint State 61 $20 Liberties. They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And folks, you can visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And you can listen to the archives of these programs just by going to the radio page.
All right, we've got a caller, Joe from Arkansas. Joe, are you there?
I'm here, yeah, and I had a question that I wanted to ask you and Melody, Al. And that's it.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, you talked about a report that there was a $2 trillion underground economy of people working for cash without paying taxes, and that it constitutes 14% of the economy now. And I just wanted to know if you had any information about what are, like, the most common top 10 occupations people do in the underground economy without paying taxes besides drug dealing.
Well, I think what we're talking about, well, yeah, besides drug dealing, we're talking about people, their occupation. I don't have absolute information on it. I don't have specific information, but what we can anticipate is that we have people who are working, they're digging ditches for a construction firm. They are taking a job delivering pizzas for Domino's or one of the big pizza places, but for one of the small pizza places. This will almost all be done in the context of small businesses, all right, where they don't have government breathing down their neck to the same extent that the corporations do and the larger chains do. And there'll be people who say, look, my brother-in-law needs a job. I'm going to put him on. He can hustle pizzas tonight. It'll be pretty much the same work that ordinary people do that are in the middle and lower classes. That'd be my guess. But it'll be done in the context of small businesses. I don't think you'll see too much of it with larger corporations that have accountants and so on. And that's my guess. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would think that also, that makes a lot of sense. And I would think that also some people would be kind of independent, and they would do like handyman jobs around people's houses and their yards and gardens and things like that. I think that would be another field.
It'll happen anywhere where you have a cash economy. For example, if we have a restaurant and where most people are paying in cash, or at least a significant percentage are paying in cash rather than credit cards, that cash can be made to disappear. That's just the truth of it. If there's not an absolute record, the big corporations, everything's checks, a lot harder. A lot harder to engage and hire people and not count them on the books. It's harder for the corporations than it is for the partnerships and sole proprietors and the rest of it, especially if they're working it for cash. Cash allows a lot of freedom involved in cash that you can't necessarily find with a checking account or a debit card or a credit card. You're less free when you have those records. Anything else you got for us, Joe?
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of those small business funded, that's the only way they can survive, that if they paid all the taxes the government wanted them to pay and did all the paperwork that the government wanted them to do and followed all the regulations that the government demand them to do, you know, they would just not be able to stay in business.
Absolutely. It's not just a question of trying to cheat the government out of some revenue. A lot of what we're talking about is simply an attempt to survive. They're recognizing can't afford to pay the taxes. The taxes are killing us. We're being destroyed. At least some operations are. And therefore, they want to keep their job. They want to keep their business. If they have to cut some corners in order to stay alive, well, it's human nature. You know? And it's something that people in government have to begin to appreciate, that they do have to represent people according to their human nature rather than their corporate nature. Corporations can do things that ordinary people can't. They have, if they are big enough, they have the resources, they can handle additional taxes and all the accounting requirements and so on. Small operators are just trying to make enough money to put braces on their kids' teeth. And therefore, you know, they gotta cut a deal with your brother-in-law where he works, you know, makes $50 a night delivering pizzas and it doesn't show up on the books. Fine. Let's do it. Gotta get some braces for little Sally. So what are we going to do, pay Uncle Sam or protect little Sally? The answer is obvious for a lot of people. Anything else, Joe?
And I think the good people would much rather work for cash in the underground economy than take welfare.
I think so, too. You know, and that's another good point. You know, and that may be happening. You know, we have the president doesn't count people who are no longer looking for jobs on how many people are unemployed in this country. I haven't compared the numbers, but I wonder, the people they don't count anymore, they're not even looking for jobs. Maybe they found one in the underground economy, and that's why they're not being counted. They're not being counted as unemployed. But they found a job, you know, working for your brother-in-law, $50 a night. It's not a lot, but maybe you can get by. So who can say? Anything you want to add, Melody?
You know, when we talk about what the corporations, you know, they're certainly not going to be looking for folks for cash, because they get the illegal aliens. They get all the discounts and the breaks for hiring them at lower wages. So,
yeah, it's another one of the, that is interesting. And it even parallels to some degree the idea that we have on the gold market. What it really measures is the price of paper gold rather than real gold. Again, we've got this dichotomy. We are seeing the nation beginning to split. Some people are buying paper gold. Some people are buying physical gold. The prices are presumed, or they have been presumed, to be identical for some time. And now we're beginning to see, no, wait. Price of physical gold should be different from paper gold. We're seeing a spread taking place. It hasn't been fully implemented, executed within the markets, but we're seeing that spread. We're also seeing a spread. We're seeing another dichotomy in the true free market. People are working in the underground economy. They call it underground. What it really is the free market. They're working in the free market, and other people are off in the government market, the manipulated market, and we are left with a choice. Do we want to be in the manipulated market that's, you know, controlled by the central planners of this country? Or do we want to be in that volatile free market? It might be a little more volatile, but at the same time, it allows for some freedom and some liberty, and it is without significant control. I see a parallel between the two. I won't say the parallel is necessarily there, but you can look at it and you can say, yeah, this is conceivable. The world is beginning to split between those who are opting for freedom, those who are forced to opt for freedom just because the central controllers can't take care of them. Does that make any sense to you, Joe?
I guess he's gone.
Okay, Joe is gone. Hope it makes sense to someone. It makes a little bit of sense to me. What else do we have, Melody?
Oh, let's see. How much time do we have? Oh, we got quite a bit of time before the break.
Six, 7 minutes. Something like that.
Go ahead.
There's 10 signs. Let me see. What's the headline on this? 10 signs. The takedown of paper gold has unleashed an unprecedented global run on physical gold and silver. All right, number one, according to Zero Hedge, U.S. Mint set a new all-time record for the number of gold ounces sold on Wednesday. This document was published. This is about what? It was actually published last week. So last Wednesday, they set a new all-time record for the Wednesday a week ago. New all-time record for the number of gold ounces sold. According to the data from the U.S. Mint, a record 63,500 ounces, or a whopping 2 tons of gold, were reported sold on April 17th alone, bringing total sales for the month to a whopping 147,000 ounces, or more than the previous 2 months combined, with just a half month gone. That's first sign that we have. Again, they did the takedown on April 12th and 15th, and it was scary, and it was, embarrassing even on some levels, and yet we are making the recovery, and people are buying. Precious metal dealers, go ahead, Melody, do you want to add something?
Yeah, what was that total number you had there?
He said 63,500 ounces, or a whopping 2 tons of gold on April 17th alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for the month.
For the month, 147,000, which is more, and that was as of the 17th.
Well, right
That's
now.
More than the previous 2 months combined. Where are we?
Right now, for the month of April, for just the 1 ounce coins, we're at 186,500.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if that's the best month ever, but it's got to be one of the top several. Here's another one. Precious metals dealers all over the United States are having a really hard time keeping up with demand right now. According to Chris Martinson, many are warning customers to expect waiting times of 5 to 6 weeks at this point. That delay is more evidence that the demand is outstripping the supply by a lot. You got to wait 5-6 weeks to take delivery on your coins, and it's not because the particular dealer is slow. It's just because it's going to take a while. The supply is low, and the demand is high. So we're going to see a delay. Here's number three on this list of 10 individual dealers all over the country are confirming that we are seeing a voracious appetite for precious metals at the moment. For example, the following is a statement from JM Bullion. We still have certain things in stock, like 10-ounce bars, while others, like Silver Eagles, are a bit of revolving inventory. The shipments are going out as soon as the inventory comes in. Mm-hmm. Our main challenge right now is actually getting the silver into the boxes and shipped out. We have been experiencing an astounding volume. Number four, large international banks are experiencing tremendous demand for physical gold and silver by customers right now. Following is Keith Barron talking to King World News about what he's hearing. At the Bank of Nova Scotia in Toronto, the gold window has been absolutely swamped. Now, that's interesting that they sell gold in the banks of Nova Scotia and in Toronto. But in any case, they have a gold window. It's been absolutely swamped. I've confirmed that there were people up in droves recently for multiple hours at a time to buy gold and silver bars and coins. It goes on. Number five, demand for physical gold and silver is heating up all over Europe as well. For example, the following is from an emergency message posted on the website of a precious metals dealer in the United Kingdom. Due to the unprecedented demand triggered by the recent fall in gold price, we are currently not able to guarantee next day delivery of orders. We anticipate that all orders will be delivered within 7 days of receipt by us. Whilst we appreciate that these delays are frustrating for our customers, we would like to stress that all accepted orders are guaranteed at the order price and will be dispatched as soon as possible. The point is, in the UK, they were apparently delivering their gold the following day up until recently, now they're delivering gold. It's taken them a week's delay. The article goes on, and I don't know, it's more of the same. I think they've got 10 items here. Here's Bloomberg, last one. All over India, people are flocking to stores to purchase gold jewelry and coins. India is on this. It's just evidence that the takedown, which certainly appears to have been orchestrated by the powers that be, the federal government, the Federal Reserve, whoever. Somebody came up with a brilliant idea, and we will short gold big time on Friday the 12th and Monday the 15th, and we will knock the price of gold down, and we'll scare all the gold bugs, and they'll be afraid to buy any more gold. And in fact, it has backfired on the powers that be. What we've actually got is an increased demand, and it's the sort of thing, you look at it, and it just makes me smile, it makes me grin. I don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know that there isn't going to be another takedown. I can't tell you that, but I don't even care if there is. Again, it's like Obama threatening more gun control. All he's going to do is sell more guns. That's all he's going to do. Go ahead, knock gold down again. Watch and see what happens. People will merely buy more gold. That's all. So they have stumbled into a circumstance where the government is darned if they do and darned if they don't. Even if they might want the price of gold down, they can't do it. It's contrary to their own interests. I've argued for some time. Government really wants the price of gold up, but they don't want it up dramatically. They want it up 10-20% per year. They don't want to turn it loose. They certainly don't want it down because deflation is contrary to government's interest. We might talk more about that when we return from our break. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom at Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Well, your gold and silver coin needs. What shall we discuss next, Melody?
Well, we got a couple of questions coming in. This is from Richard. I'm not quite sure what his question is, but here we go. If LBMA and COMEX run out of gold, would they shut down, or would they be like a casino where one person who thinks gold goes and another bets it goes down? So it would become more like a casino where actually no gold would be needed, and it would be like him betting which way gold is going. If it hits a price, the other one loses. So like a gambling casino. And Richard, we do appreciate your questions and comments.
Well, Richard, I think what you're not describing a situation about what might happen. You're describing
what
a
is.
Situation of what exists right now.
Yeah.
Over at COMEX, they're allegedly only selling 1 ounce of physical gold for every 99 ounces of paper gold they move. They aren't completely devoid of gold, but they have become a virtual casino. They got a little room on the side, or have a little room off on the side where they can actually sell a little physical gold from time to time, but mostly it's all paper. And I'm going to presume that that something very similar is going on in the London bullion market. Huh? Your description of the casino is exactly where we are, not where we might be. That's where we are, and that's exactly why we're trying to tell people, and we've been telling people for some time, get away from paper, get out of the casino. I mean, if you like the casino, that's fine. If you want to go speculate in the casino where they only trade in paper, you're welcome to do it. It's a free country. Some of you will do very well. Most of you will do badly. We're telling you, go over to that little room on the side of the casino where they actually buy and sell physical gold. Get physical gold. Stay out of the speculation. Stay away from the casino. Get the physical gold. That's been our recommendation. All right, so Richard's question. Yep. What would they do? Look and see what they're doing. They're in the circumstance you described right now. What else do we have, Melody?
Here's another question. He talks about, he wants to know if we would discuss the American versus foreign bullion confiscation or potential illegality problem of U.S. coins. So we're talking about the foreign versus American coins against or for confiscation or the possibility of either or. There's a lot of folks out there who say foreign gold wouldn't be confiscatable, so you buy that to, you know, protect yourself against confiscation. My views on that, because it's a foreign gold, the U.S. can't regulate another country's gold currency. If you believe that, then I believe you have more faith in the governments than I do. When we go back to 1933, and yes, there's always the debate, will they confiscate or won't they confiscate? If you go back to 1933, the executive order that did not confiscate coins were coins of rare and unusual value. The coin has to have some rare and unusual value. That's why we talk about the $20 gold pieces in mint state condition. So they have to have this value. I don't think foreign gold has that value unless you get into the numismatic foreign gold, and I wouldn't recommend that. I think the foreign gold is a great piece of gold to own. You can they're less than 1 ounce per coin. It's a great option for barter in emergencies. You want to stay with coins that are recognizable and acceptable. The Swiss franc or the French 20 francs, they're great for small fractional pieces, almost a fifth of an ounce. You can even get your British sovereigns. But once you start going into some of these other, get more involved in various foreign coins, no, they're not. They're become a little more worn. They're not as recognizable. So I like Swiss francs. I like British sovereigns. Would I sell them based on non-confiscation? No, I wouldn't. But they're a great small bartering coin, highly recognizable.
Well, the thing about it, in 1933, when they confiscated the gold, they didn't go knocking door to door to see if you had any gold.
No.
What they did is they just pulled the gold coins as they went into circulation in the banks and whatever. The banks pulled the gold coins out of circulation, repaid people with paper. And the gold was sent to Washington, D.C., and that was the means. Now, this was a strange situation under any circumstances, but they took the gold coins because at the time gold coins were deemed to be money in this country. That was at least part of the rationale. It was not necessarily seen as private property. It was seen as something that was owned by the United States of America, and I'm not sure that that's true. That they really did own them legally, but it was kind of perceived that way. It was seen to be, this was the government's medium of money, and the government was therefore entitled to remove it from circulation. Today, gold is not recognized as money. If they're going to take anyone's gold, they've got to just flat out admit, we're going to rob these people. They have something of value. We want it. We're going to take it. They don't have any legitimate justification for confiscating the gold. I'm not going to say they won't do it. I don't put anything past them. But if they declare they're taking gold, they can't just say we're only taking American gold. They're going to take any gold they can lay their hands on, in my opinion. If it comes to it, they're just going to say, it's, you know, you got it, we want it, we're taking it, here's our gun. Let me show you my gun. Now we're going to make a deposit. We're going to make a withdrawal from your private bank, and we're going to take your gold. No one knows what's going to happen and whether confiscation is likely or unlikely or to what degree. We don't understand that. No one really does. We can't predict what's going to happen in the future. But we can predict this. If you are inclined to believe that confiscation is possible and likely at some point in the future, the government is not going to come knocking on everybody's door to see if you've got any gold squirreled away. For the government, the easiest place to get gold will be in whatever depositories can be found in this country. I mean, if they're looking for gold, it's like old Willie Sutton used to say, why do you rob? They asked him, why do you rob banks? He says, because that's where the money is. The same thing will be true if the government confiscates gold. They'll say, why do you rob these depositories? And the government says, because that's where the gold is. They don't want to come knocking on your door or mine. They don't have time for all that fussing. And they don't have time to get shot at and have the whole thing turn into some sort of a political nightmare. I don't see door-to-door confiscation as being likely, and therefore, at least some of your gold should be squirreled away at a place where you can lay hands on it. I don't care if you got it buried in the backyard or buried on your Uncle Joe's farm, you know, up in the attic, behind the wall, down in the basement. I don't care how you do it, but that will perhaps be, and you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to tell people about it, but whatever gold you can squirrel away at a location close to you, it may be the best protected gold you're going to have, provided that you can keep your mouth shut. Right? It means you don't tell the wife and the kids and the people on the north and the south of your house, oh, this is where the gold is, so if you see anybody out there, you know, call me. You got to keep your mouth shut. But we live in peculiar times, potentially dangerous times. Gold confiscation possible? Yeah. But I guarantee, even if they try it, the day will come where those who have held their gold, even if you couldn't spend it, those who've held it, the day will come where it'll be legal again and it will be extremely valuable. So, do you have an answer? No. And you don't have an answer because we live in interesting times. We live in unstable times. There's a lot of things we can be concerned about, a lot of things we may even be a little fearful about. And you just have to do the best you can under the circumstances. You got to use a little common sense. You got to say, I wonder what I should do about this problem. Think your way through it. Make your decision. But if you believe in confiscation by our government, you better not be storing your gold in some private depository. That does not make sense to me. If you believe in confiscation by our government, you have to admit the possibility that other governments will follow suit in foreign countries, which means if you're storing your gold in foreign depositories, this is a risky proposition, which brings us back to, you know, got a hole in the ground in the backyard.
Which also, if they're not going to go door to door, but if they did make it illegal, it would make it illegal to own, and you couldn't use it. You'd have to use it in a black market. And there's
the underground, we're talking about that.
Well, yeah, but there's also consequences, too, if you're caught. So the key thing is you protect yourself and you plan. Depending on what you can put into the markets, the ultimate thing when you're buying gold and silver is you're preserving your purchasing power. Through that, then you can plan for various scenarios, whether it be bartering, whether it be if you're concerned about confiscation, pay up and get the items that will protect you. Don't listen to some of these folks that'll say, oh, this will protect. They used to sell commemorative coins as a way of non-confiscatable. They're just melt value coins, and they mark them up big in the front end. The bid to ask price is extremely wide. So there are no bad coins out there, folks. It's just the people who sell them and have an agenda. We're a personal agenda.
Well, everybody has an agenda. I mean, we all have an agenda. We'd like to make a profit, but there's a difference.
The agenda should be supplying folks with product at a good price and educating people so they can make an informed decision. Instead, a lot of these folks out there, they want to push one type of coin where they make the biggest commission. You know, people get accused because they recommend mint state coins, that's the ultimate goal. Well, it's not true. They carry certain functions. They're very, you talk about non-confiscation, you talk about performance, you talk about privacy. A lot of other coins don't, but other people say they do. So getting educated the right way with true information, that's what people should do.
That's what it comes down to. Everyone has to make a profit, but that doesn't mean everyone has to rip other people off, and that's what we're talking about. If you don't want to be ripped off, find a dealer you can trust.
Yeah,
that would
call
be
me. Yeah. I can understand competing in price, but all the information people should receive about the various coins, it should all be the same. But in the gold business, I mean, you can buy one type of car, but pretty much all the car salespeople will say the same thing about the cars. The gold market is every coin, you can visit various dealers, and each person will have a different definition for a type coin. And, yeah, people get very confused. They get very, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's just...
And how do you get past the misinformation?
It's just call me. It's that simple.
Well, it also involves learn the fundamentals.
Yes.
And they're not that complex. You get to the fundamentals, and you begin to see. And once you understand the fundamentals, it will help you to see if you are being someone is trying to deceive you or if they are trying to, you know, help you, tell you the truth. Get the fundamentals, and they're not that hard to understand. The biggest fundamental is the trend. Right? Strong probability. No one can tell you this is God's truth, but a strong probability the price of gold is going to continue to rise over the course of the next several years. We'll see ups, we'll see downs, but on average, it should go up, and significantly. There are people who talk about $5,000 gold, and they are not unreasonable. There are people who talk about $10,000 gold. They are not unreasonable. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but they are not unreasonable. This is not beyond, you know, this is not so far out there. Oh, my gosh, that's too fantastic to believe. No, it's not. I mean, I won't say it's going to happen, but it's not too fantastic to believe. It's part of the trend. It's not just hype. Sometimes it is, but it's not just hype. It's also a credible potential, and not just a potential, but a probability. And that's, well, so long as that's true, it's hard to lose buying gold. You may have to sit on it for a while, but you buy gold, especially at a low price, you're going to come out ahead if you are patient. If you're a speculator and you want to buy it today and sell it tomorrow or on Monday, you could lose. If you want to buy it today and hang on to it till the end of the year, it's a virtual certainty that you're going to win. Can't guarantee it, but that's the way it shakes out. And it's, you know, the best we can see. No one can tell you for an absolute fact what's going to happen in the future. But you look at it, you make up your own mind. What do you think? Given the economic problems we have, given the way the economy is, given the way the government is treating our national debt, what do you think is going to happen? I don't see how you can look at the total constellation of economic and political factors in this country and come away with a conclusion other than gold must go up. And if it's going to go up, it makes sense to buy it. Huh? Melody, we're about out of time. I think we've got 25 seconds. Did you want to add something before we close?
No, they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com.
Okay. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.